with them Indiana boys on an Indiana night.
Hello, hello, and welcome to another episode of Talking Pylons. I am your host, Mike Napolitano. I'm going to shoot it over to my co-host, Jake Radner. How's your week going?
It's going pretty good. No complaints over here.
Perfect, perfect. We have a guest in the house today. This is our friend, Emma Parker, and we're going to jump right into her interview. Emma, how you doing?
A lot better than I was last week. Staples came out last night, so next thing is getting my hair fixed and we will be all good.
Solid. Yeah, we also forgot to mention last week that Christmas was coming up. That's both of your favorite holidays, so I got my Santa hat on. Did you guys get anything good from Santa?
In the words of my siblings, I got a lot of therapy pillows. So I got Mr. Charmander. He's right here today. And some other ones that are all the way over there. But yeah.
Rat, how about you?
I didn't get much. My brother and sister-in-law were sick, so we couldn't do presents with each other. So we're waiting for another day when they're doing better. And we can all be together when we open presents.
That's tough. And they leave soon, right?
Yeah, they leave January 16th, I believe 3 weeks from today. So it's coming up pretty quick on us here.
Gotcha, yeah. That's cool. We will probably eventually get Ben on, for sure. Yeah. Talk about his hockey career and possibly even playing over in Belgium, although it would be just maybe like men's league or whatever, but should be fun. Talk about your A Elite stuff, but we'll jump right into the Emma interview. So, Emma, you designed our Talking Pylons logo. So just go into some of the smaller details that people might miss and the inspiration behind some of them.
I remember when you had first come to meet you with this, I think it was like 2 years ago. In all honesty, at first, I didn't understand like what you were looking for. Like, I didn't understand having like the radio towers. I was like, it doesn't make sense in my mind. But then realizing what Talking Pylons was, it all started to click for me. I think some of the small details was definitely when we did like the hockey laces in between the towers and how the, I'm gonna call them telephone wires because that's what I call them, are the lines of a hockey rink, like the red line, blue lines. Honestly, like, it was a fun project. It was a pain in the butt, but it was definitely a really fun one because you kind of let me just range free on it. You were like, just come up with something and show me what you got. And I think I remember showing it to you that first time and like your face just lit up. You were like, oh my God, this is awesome. And then you're like, but we could change a few things. And I was like, gosh, darn it. I was like, finally, I thought I had one right thing. But honestly, it was a lot of fun. And especially this last one, getting that final little piece with you and Rat, how you guys were like, well, it could look just like a little bit better. And I was like, all right. I remember I stayed up until like 3 a.m. and I just sent it to you. I was like, it's done. I'm not working on it anymore. And you guys were like, it's perfect. And I was like, oh, thank God.
Yeah, I wanted something like original. And I thought of electrical pylons. It's not necessarily the pylons that people get compared to on the ice, but I was like, that would be something unique and we could kind of go different places with it. And I mean, a traffic cone was designed as well. But I was like, this is just so unique and we could go so many different routes with it that I wanted that. And it sounds like me. Yeah, definitely going back and forth on that. But yeah, now it's electrical, you know, it's electric. So we picked the right one. What is the process of like designing one of these logos like for you? Like when you're just kind of sitting there, like either drawing or coming up with ideas?
I do a lot of like I just started Googling stuff and I was like, well, I can't just, it couldn't be something rigid. It had to be kind of more, in my mind, cartoonistic. So it was definitely trying to find an image that I could go off of a little bit. So I think I found like an old newspaper clip of just some pylons, and I was like, oh, let's just kind of play with this a little and see what we can get. And by then it was just getting like that base drawing, and then all the other stuff was just little add-ons for me. It was like, okay, the wires to be the red and blue lines, and then the laces were hard. When you wanted the laces, that was a really hard feat for me to do because it was so fluid, and if you didn't get it just right, it didn't look right. So it was a lot of, I was sitting there, I kept erasing. I was like, this sucks. And I'm more of a paper and pencil girl, so doing it all on my iPad was hard for me at first. I was like, it's just not gonna look right because I'm so paper and pencil. But once like I kind of got the feel for it, I think it really just took off for me.
Gotcha. Yeah, we mentioned we also had you on the Voodoo podcast that you've also done the Voodoo on Vassar logo. And what makes it kind of easy for you to create designs like this, especially in the Voodoo case, and then bring them kind of to light like this?
For me, I do a lot better when people just let me run free and let me do my own thing. The more restrictions you put, the more like narrowed my scope gets. So especially with Voodoo, like you had that base idea, which was really, really nice. And I was like, okay, I can go off of this. I just need to make it a little more official, I guess is the word I'm looking for. And then moving over into pylons, you had that idea, but it was a very vague idea. So it was like, oh, okay, like this one, I can kind of do my own thing. Voodoo, it was a little more restrictive, but you still gave me free reins to do whatever I wanted. But you had final say, of course. It was just really nice to like let my mind do my own thing and just get into it.
Cool. Yeah. You are also kind of in the hockey world as well. You are a hockey fan, but you're a Bruins fan. So talk about where that started and how you got dropped on your head. I mean, became a Bruins fan.
You can say dropped on my head now. You can officially say I've been dropped on my head. Honestly, I can't tell you. I remember like you were probably the one, definitely probably the one who like kind of really got me into hockey and actually watching it. Because I remember we used to sit in our hall council meetings together and you would be watching hockey meetings. But honestly, like the Boston thing, I can't tell you where it came from. I think I was just watching a game and I was like, oh, okay, let's just keep watching this team because it doesn't make sense because you're a Chicago fan. My parents are from Philly, so you would think Philly would be my next option. It doesn't make sense. And I know you think my vision on why I choose who wins games is a little skewed because I choose by who has the hottest players. But at the time it was just, well, let's just go. It comes up, I just get more and more shit for it.
Yeah, no. I've been to Boston. Boston's a nice town, and I like the Red Sox, but I can't get behind their hockey team. It's tough, but I'm they're scaring me right now because they're doing so well. We'll get into them in NHL talk, but yeah, and Ball Hall Council meetings, they didn't have anything important to say the Blackhawks are on. Come on, they got to figure that one out by now. But yeah, so your mom, you mentioned your family's from Philly, but your mom also had an interesting story about a time that she got to meet Wayne Gretzky while he was on set of A League of Their Own. which was filmed near where you live in Indiana. Of course, Janet Jones is his wife, and she was starring in that movie. What was l it like for your mom to get a chance to meet the great one? And what was the interaction? I forgot the entire story.
I've only heard the story because whenever that was filmed, I believe only my two oldest siblings, Kyle and Ian, were born. Or maybe it was just Kyle. But so part of it was filmed in Evansville, which is literally like 20 minutes from me. And the story, as I recalled mom saying it, is dad kept telling her, just go down, you know, they're filming, just go down and see what's going on. And she did, and she was like, and he was like, oh, maybe you'll get like a little, like, we'll see you just walking through in the background. And she had gone into like one of the coffee shops or like one of the sandwich shops to get lunch for the boys, and he was in there, and she just sat down and like she just kind of started talking to him. And it was just, she was like, yeah, he's a really cool dude, like very down to earth. He's like, he knows he's the great one, but he doesn't portray that he's the great one. And it's just, it's mind-blowing to me because she always talks about how when she was little, they did the, she was in marching band, so they did the national anthem for Phillies games, for Eagles games, for all those types of things. And I'm like, for a person who was involved in a lot of high-end sports on that end, we were never introduced to it as kids. Like, we didn't sit down and watch baseball games. We didn't sit down and watch football games. Like, that's just not what we did. So mom has all these incredible stories, and it's like, well, where was this in our childhood? That's kind of always how the story goes.
Well, yeah, because where you guys are at in Indiana, there's not a whole lot of sports, really. I mean, what's the closest thing for you guys, and it really in any sport? And then also, you're probably not watching much on TV, are you?
Not really. Football wise, we have the Colts in Indy, or
Or the Pacers in Indy.
and the Pacers in Indy for basketball. Baseball, it's more St. Louis Cardinals, or Cincinnati Reds. Those are the two that, like, Luke would go to baseball games there when he was in high school and college. Hockey, we got Nashville, we got St. Louis,
All
but
right, moving on. Next question,
if
anyway.
we were gonna talk about hometown, hey, the Evansville has a very, very, very minor team. We're the Thunderbolts.
Well,
Like, really.
going back to Gretzky also played for the Indianapolis Racers at a time. I believe the Racers were in, were they in the WHA? Indianapolis. I'm researching on the fly, but if that team had stayed alive, then hockey may have been a thing in Indiana, or at least bigger. They actually used to play at, I had it in my notes here. They used to play in an arena that I believe the Pacers used to play in. It got torn down. It was called Market Square Arena, and it is now a Whole Foods market, which
I've been to
is,
that Whole Foods.
and I had thought I had been to the Whole Foods when I was in Indianapolis, but I was a Kroger because there's not a whole lot to choose from when you're down in Indy as far as grocery stores. So I was like, oh,
No.
I've been there, but yeah, now it's like a parking lot. Yes, WHA from 1974 to 1978. And you, when you look them up, one of their first pictures is they actually had some pretty sick logos. I mean, for the time, red, white, and blue color scheme. And they had, you could literally buy a Gretzky jersey, an Indianapolis Racers Gretzky jersey. So if only they would have kept him, maybe hockey would have gone a different route and been in Indiana. The only NHL game that I believe has been played in Indiana has been the Winter Classic
That
between
Winter Classic. Yeah.
the Bruins and the Hawks, which I went to, and that was was a bit of a letdown. Your Bruins won 4-2 with an empty netter, so that was tough. But cool location. Notre Dame, the stadium was really nice, and the atmosphere was rocking, and there was a little bit of snow, so it was exactly like a winter classic should be. We've got one coming up, and that's also going to be saved for NHL talk. But before we get to that, you and I had been to an Indy Fuel game, but then you also came in this past spring for a Blackhawks game, which was against the Bruins. Talk about a little bit of the difference in the two games from ECHL to NHL.
Overall, it's the atmosphere. Like, I think no matter where, what level you are on in the United Center, like, everybody was into it and everybody was on their feet and everything like that. And then when you go back to Indy Fuel, like, it's small, it's kind of small town vibes. It's not as electric, I'll say. It's really not. And it was definitely a big difference because it was just like when I walked into the United Center, it was like my eyes lit up on Christmas. It was like, oh my God, this is what it's like. And then Indy Fuel, like, it's always fun to go to a game. We a few friends that I had always talked about going to games, but none of them would ever commit to go with me. And I'm like, I can't go by myself. So whenever you came in for that one, that was it was just a fun time to finally like actually go and sit and watch hockey with someone who knew hockey and could explain things that I didn't really understand. Now I'm better. I don't need as much explanation, but it was definitely just it's the atmosphere that changes everything.
That was at a time when COVID had hit, so it was 2020, and the NHL arenas were not allowing fans in the stands, but ECHL, they needed it to survive. So I was like, oh, sure, free hockey. Well, not free, but I get to actually go and watch live hockey, which a lot of people can't do right now. So yeah, I'm in. So that was a lot of fun. I remember distinctly the one goalie. They were playing the Wheeling Nailers, so Biz's former team. And the one goalie for the Nailers, his last name was Hockey, Hawkey. I was like, that's what we call hockey up in Chicago because it's Hawks hockey. But it was a good game. Wheeling did come back and miraculously in the third period and then win in overtime, which was tough to watch, especially being, a fan of the Fuel because they are the minor league to the minor league for the Blackhawks themselves. But it's a nice atmosphere, a little bit like AHL hockey, if I could compare it to that. But more so along the lines of if you go to a Rockford Ice Hogs game, because the fans are a little bit passionate in a crazy way. Wolves games, fans are passionate. There's maybe one or two that get a little psycho, but I know some season ticket holder people that are pretty cool. I don't, maybe they'll come on the podcast. Oh, wait, he's right here already. So yeah, very cool. But nobody else knows hockey in Indiana. I went to one of the shittiest rinks ever when I was there. Roller rinks, anyways, to try to play some roller hockey. That was labeled as a rink. Honestly, it had less wood boards than my ice rink out back, and it was just gravel. It just tore up my wheels. It was so bad, and I had to drive 30 minutes from where I was in Indianapolis just to get there. So not ideal. When it comes to ice, there's not a lot either, unless you're at the fairgrounds where the Fuel play. Their practice rink also doubles as like the community rink. So when I was out there shooting pucks around, there was an ECHL guy taking shots on the other end one of the times I went. And I mean, he'd miss the net and that puck would ring around the glass and come all the way down on my side. And I'm like, yeah, I probably shouldn't be on the same ice as this guy, but as long as I stay out of his way, we're good. So yeah, you don't get a chance to watch a lot of hockey where you're at necessarily. How do you watch games or catch up on highlights and stuff like that?
It's really just like every now and then I'll flip on a game on the TV, and that's how I typically get it. We do have I mean it's the only really ice rink within a little bit. It's right in Evansville, and it's where our team plays. I mean, that's not where they play, it's where they practice. They play at the Ford Center. But honestly, I can't tell you the last time I went to one of their games. I was probably in middle school. And that was when the girl I was in class with, her dad was the coach and gave like the entire class tickets. That was the last time I really went to a game in Evansville. But it was funny. I was helping out with a learn to skate program a few weeks ago for a friend. And I'd look across to the other rink and you see all the little kids learning to play hockey. And I was like, oh, that's so cute. I was like, okay, let's go back to teaching kids how to fall on ice.
Yeah, you mentioned once again the Thunderbolts. That's SPHL, that's Southern Professional Hockey League. I'm trying to think of oh yeah, we have Rat here who is connected in that way as well, because the Peoria Rivermen, who used to be an AHL franchise before they folded, and then this SPHL team came into Peoria, took the same name. And they are now, like I mentioned, in the SPHL along with Evansville. It's so funny the connections, because I'm here in Schaumburg, and the Schaumburg Boomers, minor league baseball, not even affiliated, is also playing in the same league as the Evansville Otters. And then you have the Peoria Rivermen, who Rat has connections to, is in the same league as the Evansville Thunderbolts. So, Rat, you know some Peoria Rivermen, and what's that league like? Emma, you could probably explain it as well. I've never been to an SPHL game.
It's pretty solid league. I mean, it's technically professional hockey, as they put it down in the books. But it's a solid league. I mean, it's a grindy league. You gotta be gritty. You gotta get in those corners. And I don't want to say it's a dirty league, but there are a lot of fights. And it's I mean, you get paid, not a lot, but you get paid to play in that league. And yeah, I mean, it's hockey. I mean, it's professional hockey. It's of course good hockey, but it's not the best, you know.
That's probably an accurate way to put it. It's been so long, like I can't recall that far back of what the game was like, but I just remember we were sitting up high watching hockey. That's all I remember.
How big is that arena? It's probably not very big, right? Is SPHL below ECHL, or is it kind of same level?
It's below. I mean, it's different leagues, but it's below technically.
And so I imagine the arenas aren't very big, right?
Well, the Rivermen's arena is the same size as their AHL arena, because it's the same arena.
Using the same place.
And like Bradley uses that arena for basketball ceremonies, competition, stuff like that. So it's pretty solid size.
Yeah, where the Thunderbolts play, it's the same place like they do all the concerts and basketball games and everything like that. So it's a pretty decent size.
Interesting. I'm picturing it's probably lower. I'm picturing the only rink that size that I've been in is for the Chicago Steel, but that's differently. It's is it USPHL?
USHL.
Oh, USHL. And there's not a whole lot of stands for that one, but mostly I'm in there for men's league every once in a while with our buddy Rob. So they got a nice bar. It's a really nice bar. And I'm pretty sure Chris Chelios had or has ties with that place. So nice place. But the only other arena that I could think of was when we had the Chicago Express here. Was that a USHL team too? I gotta know my
That
history.
was I want to say that was I don't know if it was USHL.
I'll
I'm
have to
gonna
do
look it
some
up real
research
quick.
on that, but they know are no longer a team, but they used to play out of the Sears Center, which is now the Now Arena, and that was where I graduated high school. So that's
Cool.
definitely big enough. The Windy City Bulls also play out of there, so it's like you mentioned, it's a big enough arena to host ceremonies and also basketball games. Switch it from the
They're
pool, which is something the going back to the Indy Fuel, something that they do as well, because the IUPUI Jaguars basketball team plays out of there as well. So a lot of shared arenas.
The Express are the ECHL. They were
Oh,
ECHL.
ECHL. Okay, yeah. I did know that. I just forgot. So yeah, a lot of switching, just like a lot of switching, just like the United Center itself. So hold on.
Awkward.
Awkward.
Okay, we're going back to this. Okay. We have to, I know you briefly touched upon it earlier, but we have to mention, how do you pick your playoff brackets, Emma?
I always have two brackets. One is actually like picked off of stats and everything like that. But my main one is picked off of how hot I think the players are. That
And
is
stats too, right?
how.
I mean, the NHL is so like it's so hard to predict playoffs. So I mean, I guess that's not really like a bad way to look at it, but it's like, because I
There's
mean,
no
think about
research
it.
done behind it, though.
Yeah, that's just like guessing, but I mean, that's what you're gonna
Is.
have to do. So unprofessional, Michael.
I don't know what's going on here. My AirPods, like the minute I like they stay connected for a second or two, all of a sudden like I can't hear you guys. So, but then I also have background noise, so I don't know what to do, but we're fine. Yeah. Definitely you've got some interesting ways to make your brackets. Mascots.
The one year I was so close. The one year it was almost perfect.
There's no perfect science for it, but just, that's there's no research done behind it, so it's at least not the right research.
You could do mascots, like if the Bruins played like the Hawks, like who would win in a fight, a hawk or a bear,
Tommy
you know?
Hawks.
Or yeah, or the actual mascots if they get into a brawl.
Right.
Yeah. Sounds good. Yeah.
We'll do that this year. We'll do that this
Oh my God. Yeah. Well, we won't see any Hawks in the playoffs this year, so.
You sure?
Sure.
Yeah, I'm almost 100% sure. Yeah, like 99.999. But Emma, so you've been a part of the SHL, our Schaumburg Hockey League, since 2019. What has that been like over the years, especially in your very first year? We had to basically walk into the Lions' den and steal the cup back. So how has the league really changed since then?
It's definitely changed. I think what I've done 2019, 2021, and 2022 have been my 3 years so far. And I'll say, like, that first year I came, I didn't understand like how big of a thing it was for you. It was definitely like it's a whole organized event, like. You went hardcore for it, and it's definitely like every time I've come back, there's somebody who remembers me from the last year, which is really awesome. It's like they probably know me as the girl from Indiana, but they don't just like, they're not all like, who's this Southern girl coming in here trying to like talk hockey or anything like that. But it's definitely that first year was definitely an interesting year. Like you said, walking into the Lions' Den to get that cut back, but you gotta do what you gotta do. And definitely, it's been a lot of fun. Each year I meet someone new and we have a great time. Like 2021, I met Ratner and we've had a great time since then. So this year I met Kaner and he's an awesome one too. So it's just each year it's gotten so much better.
Who's your
Yeah.
favorite player that plays in the SHL?
No comment.
A tricky question because I don't play in the SHL. Well, as of last year. But then again, Rat does.
Yeah, Mike got
None of
scratched
it.
in his own game, so.
All right. That's not, that's,
Healthy
you can't be
scratch.
reporting fake
Healthy
packs.
scratch.
We want to be a legitimate, newsworthy podcast. You can't be reporting fake packs. I,
It's not fake. It's
fake
true.
facts. I took a
It's true.
year
It was your own
off.
game and
I took a year
you were
off.
scratched.
No, I took a year
Just
off.
wait till, you just gotta wait till the highlight reel comes out and you'll see who has the most camera time.
That's true. Yeah. She mentioned the highlight reel, and it's a slow process. I said it would be done before the new year, but with IMS being closed on my Mondays off for the holidays for the rest of the year, that's not gonna happen. So we're gonna try to have it done in January, and I'll let this podcast know as soon as it's out too, because it's I mean, when we score, like, the last was the last one like 40 minutes long. When we score like 40 goals, you need like a minute for like each goal and some of the other highlights and the ceremony at the end and stuff like that. So I'm gonna try to cut it down, but I don't wanna, I hate cutting out other people's goals because, you know, everybody's is unique. And I mean, if you've got 10 of them, then yeah, maybe I'm cutting a bunch of years out. But when it comes to, like, you know, guys that, you know, it's their only goal of the game, even if it's not flashy, it's like, you know, that's, that was their goal. They want to see it. They want to see their highlights. So
Wow.
I also have some personal highlight reels coming out for each guy, but that will probably happen till like February, March. So I know I'm behind on that too, but I've got my three candidates, so I'm not gonna release names, but there'll be individual highlight reels for some guys that are cool.
If I
Don't
don't get a
smile over there.
freaking highlight reel, I'm gonna be so rattled.
It's not you. I want to wait one more year so I have a couple more highlights on you. I mean, I have a bunch already, but it's
What
not
do
you.
you mean? I have more highlights of the last 2 years than you probably have.
Well, I don't know about that, but also the guys that I'm picking have been in the league longer than you, so gotta get them first. So they've earned it, and you have plenty of highlights. But I feel like if I wait one more year, we've got a lot more to put into your video,
The
which
video's
will
gonna
make
be
you
too
better.
long after next year.
All right, now I'm shutting you down. Anyways, back to Emma. What have your for the people that don't know, what have your roles on the sidelines for the SHL been in the past, and what are the best parts about that and the league itself?
I'd say role one is I've always been the one filming, or doing most of the filming, whether it's been you give me your phone, your snap glasses, my phone, iPads. This last year you had the cameras from the IMS, which is awesome. And then I'm the official. I put up all the, well, this last year I didn't, but typically I'm the one putting up most of the ads on the boards. This year I got to do it in heels while you guys were
No,
having
I
fun.
did it.
Rat did it this year. He did a good number this year, but then I had to go around and retape half of them.
True.
But I'd say that's about it. I help you bring stuff over. You know, you graciously, your mother also graciously lets me stay at your house during that time. So.
Yeah, so there's that. You've now been in for the SHL game and for Voodoo Ambassador, our haunted house. The rink wasn't exactly ready this past weekend, but you weren't able to make it in anyways. But this will be your first year getting to experience the ODR eventually at some point. I know we're supposed to have 50-degree weather in the next week or so. So who knows? It's up and down with the weather this year, but you probably will get a chance to skate out here. So what are you most excited for on that front?
I'm really excited to see it. I was telling Rat when you had to hop off. I was like, it looks massive in the pictures. And he was like, you know, it's not massive, but you know, it's a good size. I think I'm really excited. I might be, you know, ice and I aren't on the best terms right now, so I might be a little skeptical at first stepping out there. But I'm just really excited. Just to get out there with you guys or even hang on the boards with you guys. I just want to see it in person. That's all I really want to do. And I'm going to say, Mom and I are going to do the part of my move. Well, I guess the rest of my move this week. So, Mama Nancy might make it out and just see it too. So.
Nice. Cool. Yeah. Sounds good. Well, yeah, we are excited. The boys are probably going to be skating later today. We're recording on Monday the 26th. So, it Should be a fun time later today. Post Christmas, everybody's feeling full and wants to skate off a couple pounds. But in the meantime, Talking Pylons is brought to you by No Name Hockey. Are you tired of paying extra just to have the same stick as the duster on the bench next to you? Well, now there's an easy and affordable way to customize your gear and make yourself stand out without sacrificing quality or technology in your sticks. In fact, No Name Hockey sticks are just as advanced as the other top of the line sticks and at a fraction of the cost. They have all the same curves and flexes, as well as customizable grips and colors. The pinnacle of the No Name Hockey customization power is that they give you the option to make it yours by printing your name and number on the stick. I am an official No Name Hockey ambassador, but don't just take my word for it. Get to nonamehockey.co and get your new twig today. You can also follow them on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram with the at No Name Hockey as well. No Name Hockey, respect all, fear no one, make a name. So yeah, I'll be skating later. We've got some NHL talk that we're gonna jump into. I don't know if you're able to stay on, but we have a little bit of everything, including your Bruins. The Winter Classic is coming up, Penguins and Bruins at Fenway Park. This will be the second Winter Classic held at Fenway, and for the Bruins and Penguins, I can't even count how many Winter Classics they've been in now. I know. I believe they've played each other before in a Winter Classic, but I don't think it was at Fenway. I have to do some research on those stats. But yeah, we mentioned the jerseys in a previous episode. So those will be, they'll be rocking those. I mean, you can't go wrong with a beautiful setting like Fenway Park. And the Chuck got there last week, and it looks like the plans that they have to how to build the rink and the walkways and everything is just absolutely beautiful. So I'm excited
I'm
to see
pretty
that.
sure they just played a football game on Fenway Park, and like it was a college football game. It was Cincinnati and someone else, but it was pretty cool seeing like the whole setup of it, and it was kind of funny seeing how close the sidelines were to like the dugouts or the stands or whatever, and behind the end zones. But I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah, no, I'm excited. Are you guys gonna get a chance to watch this game?
On the first, all right.
Yeah.
I'll probably be watching it.
I'll probably, yeah. Sitting in my apartment, yeah.
The different games that the Bruins have played in, they played in Ralph Wilson Stadium, which is now Highmark Stadium. Oh, Highmark. Near Buffalo, so they played the Sabres in the first Winter Classic in 2008. Then they played Philly at Citizens Bank Park in Philadelphia, and then I should also list. So Ralph Wilson Stadium, I believe that's a football stadium. I want to say it's where the Bills play. Well, it's now Highmark Stadium, but then Citizens Bank Park is where the Phillies play. So it's a baseball stadium. Then they played the 2014 Winter Classic. No, this isn't quite right because that was between Detroit and Toronto. I'm gonna have to do my research for sure on this because I don't think this is quite accurate. I know they were in the 2019 Winter Classic at Notre Dame Stadium against the Hawks, but there was one in Fenway before. They also have played at the Lake Tahoe games. They played against Philly there. That was an interesting one because they had to push their game back due to the sun being too bright and melting some pockets in the ice. So the first game that happened that day was between Vegas and Colorado, and guys were just losing edges and falling all over the place. It was kind of funny to watch, but also kind of scary because you don't want these guys to get injured. But Bruins did win. They beat the Flyers 2-1 in OT at oh, that was at Fenway. So they've played Philly twice outdoors. So that was the first Winter Classic that was that they did. First Winter Classic that the Bruins got to participate in. That was at Fenway. So yeah. Moving forward, also dealing with we had mentioned Michigan college hockey though. University of Michigan women's hockey was not actually funded by the University of Michigan, and Dave Portnoy had to step in. Rat, you found this, so go into a little bit about this story and what this all came to.
Well, to start off, I think it's very shitty of the University of Michigan not paying for the women's hockey. It's Division One, I believe, Division One hockey, NCAA, and it should be funded by the school. And they're having trouble getting ice time. And I think it's kind of crap that these girls are not getting ice time because their school won't pay for it. I'm sure they pay plenty of money to go to that school, and they're gonna have to pay more money just to get ice time. I mean, just for practice, even not even games. But yeah, Dave Portnoy, great guy, stepping in and donating money for that, and he kind of called out the university as well, and that was pretty cool of him to do for sure.
Yeah, nice of him to step in and do that for just such a big university. You would expect them to be able to, like you said, to be able to fund that for them, and for them to not be doing that, and for it to be the women's hockey that gets the for lack of a better term, shit end of the stick. That's not right. So good on Dave Portnoy. I love that guy. He's awesome. But yeah, hopefully he did tell in that tweet, he said to the University of Michigan, come on, be better. He's an alumni, and he said be better, and come on, pay for them in the future, pay for their ice time. That's the least you could do. In the meantime, I was able to pull up the Bruins Winter Classic stats. That doesn't have all their outdoor games, but at least for the Winter Classics, they played in the 2010, 2016, and 2019 Winter Classics. 2010 was, like I mentioned before, at Fenway against Philadelphia. They won 2-1 in overtime. 2016 was against the Canadiens at Gillette Stadium. That's where the Patriots play. Their bitter rivals, the Canadiens, took that one 5-1. And then, of course, we already recapped the one I went to at Notre Dame Stadium. They were against the Blackhawks, and they won 4-2. So they're 2-1 in actual Winter Classic games. Now, the Tahoe game was not a Winter Classic. It was just an outdoor stadium series. They just called them the Lake Tahoe games. I believe the Bruins have been in a few more of those. So I'd like to see their total outdoor history, but they're looking to either be 3-1 after this coming Saturday. Saturday, right? No, Sunday. Sunday. This coming Sunday, or they're going to be 2-2, but they're playing the Penguins, so anything could happen. We have more Bruins talk we got to get into. One of the stats I found that was absolutely crazy is this year, goals scored by Patrice Bergeron in 5-on-5 situations, 7. Goals scored by everyone else playing against Patrice Bergeron in a 5-on-5 setting, 6. So I don't know who looks into this kind of a stat, but it is definitely interesting to see. I mean, now granted, it, like I mentioned, it's 5-on-5, so there's 4 other guys out there with Patrice Bergeron, but for this stat to be so close and for him to actually be leading in the goals compared to everybody else, that's kind of, it says something about his presence on the ice. So Rat, what can you tell us about that?
I mean, it's 5-on-5 hockey. He's got a good he's got a good captaincy mentality when he's on the ice, of where he's not gonna let other people or other guys on the opposing team come in on him and just get free goals. He's gonna do everything he can to work on it, and he scores a lot of goals. I mean, he's in the right place at the right times. The puck finds him, and he's got a good stick to bury for sure.
Emma, what have you seen from your Boston Bruins this year?
In all honesty, I haven't been able to watch too much, but I've been able to catch some highlight reels, and Bergeron seems like this is a good year for him. I think last year was a good year for him too, but he's just kind of been on fire this year, in all honesty. And you get him on that line with Marchand and Pasternak, and they really are kind of like unstoppable together. But I think he's a great captain. I was really happy when they gave him the C, and he's just all around, like when you see him in an interview, he just seems like a solid dude. I know you probably don't love it that he's a Boston Bruin, but he is just overall just a solid dude.
Absolutely. Our buddy, our goaltender Marco is going to be watching this episode and he's going to be super excited because he's diehard Bruins fan. We'll get him on eventually, but yeah, I'm not
Making
looking
a
forward
song.
to I'm not looking to Bruins talk with him in anytime soon, so we'll have to space it out. But yeah, Bruins are a scary team this year. Another scary team is the Carolina Hurricanes, but off ice they're kind of sweet. Max Pacioretty, he saw that a kid that was featured on the Jumbotron dropped his ice cream, and he came over and gave him a new cone full of ice cream. It was a big cone for the little kid too. Were either of you able to catch this clip? And what do you guys have to say about that?
I did not see that, but that's a hockey player for you.
Yeah, kind of a little heartwarming, cute thing, right in time for the holidays too.
Right.
The Carolina Hurricanes were also in the news this week because Seth Jarvis played his 1,000th game, or was it 100th game? I'm sorry, 100th game. One too many zeros. And they flipped his jersey. So if you know the Carolina Hurricanes' main logo, it's that circular C. It's got the red on one side and the black on the other. Well, it's an easy one to just flip. And it's basically the same thing, except for the colors are off. So you'd have to look very closely of him. We'll post the picture, just him sitting on the bench with the flip jersey. So kind of funny, kind of funny. They are also buzzing.
Wait, before you continue, the Hurricanes logo isn't a C, it's a hurricane.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean for it to be like,
Okay.
but like it's like a circular oval shape. It's
Yeah.
not quite a C. No, it's closed in, but the two sides of the hurricane kind of make C's. There's a red side. It's almost like a yin and a yang. At least that's the way I see it. There's like a red side and a black side, and then there's the eye of the storm in the middle.
I mean, it's just a hurricane, but
That's true. That's true. We will get into Peter Kochekov, but Hannah is not here with us to reap the benefits. So I will just say we'll mention it next podcast when she's on. Marty Brodeur, yes, he got compared to Marty Brodeur because PK started the year 8-0-2, which is the longest point streak for a rookie goaltender since Brodeur. So quite the achievements going on in Carolina, and we may have a couple things up our sleeve for the future in regards to something related to Peter Kochekov and the Hurricanes. So I'll let Hannah come back on with this one and tell us about it in the future. I buried the lead because Ovechkin, another thing that's connected to Hannah, she would love to be here for this, but we gotta go. It's timely. Ovi passed Gordie Howe by tying, well, he tied him and passed him. 801 goals. It took him a little while since he got that hat trick in Chicago, but he scored both 801 and 802 versus the Jets. And after the game, they stopped before they went into the locker room and they shook his hand in what looked like a playoff handshake line. Have you guys ever seen something like this in a regular season game? A handshake line like that?
I have seen that before. When the Sedins retired after the last game, everyone on the other team did go through them. But yeah, no, it's a very classy thing to do. And I also want to say, when can we think of like the last time that Ovi had a single goal game? Like, I feel like all of his games are multi goals now. Like, I feel like he goes like two or three games without scoring, and then he scores two or three in the next game.
Yeah, you're not wrong. It's like in bursts, but
Right.
I'd have to look deeper into his stats this year. There's probably one this year, but yeah,
Oh,
going from a hat trick to a little bit of a dry spell. I mean, you play some tougher teams, and then going right back into scoring two against the Jets, which they're a tough team as well. So, of course, one of them was an empty netter, but still, a goal is a goal. And
also, Kuznetsov, the unselfish play. Like, Ovi's trying to give it to Kuznetsov, and Kuznetsov could have buried it, and he passed it back and tried to get it back to Ovi, which worked out, and very unselfish and very good job by him.
that's true. That was why it made it one of the more exciting empty netter goals that we've seen in history, but not just a guy on a breakaway just putting the game away. Max Domi had a quote about Chicago. He, of course, played, he was kind of in a bunch of different locations before he came to Chicago. I actually met him, was it 2 weeks ago now? And I asked him about how it was being related to the Wahlbergs and if he had to do the similar workout routines that they're on, waking up at 6 a.m. He said, not quite, but Mark Wahlberg just did a Binny's commercial with, I believe, Bobby Hull. They said they wanted to do a commercial with Patrick Kane. I believe I told this on the podcast already. But Max Domi, that same week, came out and said, on Christmas break, he was excited. He said, I'm pretty excited, actually. My whole family's here. I was in Columbus for 2 years, so I didn't get many visitors. All of a sudden, I'm in a nice city, so my family wants to come. I don't know if it's me or the city. So obviously praising Chicago, but also Columbus took a ricochet shot. I mean, that's tough. Like, he just basically kind of threw your city under the bus. And Columbus is already a place where, not a whole lot of star players want to go to. So as somebody who's been to that arena, it's really nice, but I can understand it's not the biggest city. So maybe not as much to do there, but what do we make of this comment?
Before we go into this comment, even more, Cole Sillinger plays on Columbus, so I'd be down to go to Columbus for sure. For other reasons, but yeah, no, I'm the Chicago, I mean, he's definitely praising it a lot, and I'm glad that he likes it here because he's a good young player, and I'm excited to see what he could do for us in the future.
Definitely. When I saw that comment, I started like chuckling a little bit. And I'm with Rat. Sean Corrales also plays for Columbus, so I'd be down to go to Columbus too. So.
Nobody's going to Columbus for the hockey, it seems, which is fitting because the Blackhawks just beat Columbus last Friday, so they're not doing too hot either. But yeah, I get it. I get it. I'd want to go see Johnny Gaudreau. He's their big ticket signing, and surprising that he went there. All the memes were like, Johnny, this is your agent. You just got an offer from COL, and he take it, take it, and then. They finish the word, and the rest of the word is not Colorado, it's Columbus. So, but now he's enjoying it there, I guess. But yeah, things need to go a little bit differently for them to have some success. Hawks are in the same boat. Going back to the Hawks, this past week, Kane was quoted in an article from Mark Lazarus that he would consider a GM role in the future. So, good news for Blackhawks fans is that he may kind of stick around after his career. But would it, would he still leave at the trade deadline is probably the case. And will he go play for somebody else? Probably. Will he finish his playing career with Chicago? We may not know. But it sounds like he wants to then become a GM. So that would be great. I mean, he's got the hockey mind. I don't know how well he would do in the front office, but he's a legend. So that would be interesting. We had a couple of OT winners this past week. The first one I had listed was Sam Girard, an OT winner for the Avs. It was a 2-on-1. We'll post the video in here. They were going up in overtime. A quick play the other way from, I believe it was they were playing Arizona, actually, of all teams. And all of a sudden, they find themselves on a 2-on-1 break, and it's in the back of the net. This was Thursday night, so they were actually playing. Nope, wait, not Thursday night. Who did I say? The Wild? Or no, the Avs.
I was pretty sure it was Wednesday night, but I don't think it was Sam Girard that scored. I think it was Rantanen.
Wednesday night. Oh yeah, it was Rantanen. The on the broadcast they had said Girard. It's also the Canadians, so I am way off in left field. But
Yeah,
I mean, struggling
that
team.
was when the Canadians went down, had a good chance, puck just laying in the crease, and whoever was on the ice passed it up, and I believe Rantanen and I don't know who he went on the rush with, but Rantanen was up on the rush and got that pass and just slipped a 5-hole on Jake Allen. It's pretty nice play. I have to
Yeah.
say so myself.
Yeah, it was Devon Toews that passed it up. So great work in the crease from him to clear that puck out. But yeah, awesome, awesome overtime exciting on both ends. We had two other overtime goals. Adrian Kempe had an OT winner for the LA Kings. It was another 2-on-1 with Victor Arvidsson, a little bit of passing back and forth play, and it's in the back of the net. Rat, did you catch this one? What could you tell us about this one?
I did not catch this one at all.
This was against the Flames, it was, I mean, Kempe's a good player, but Arvidsson, I think, was the one who manufactured a lot of this play for the Kings, and they were happy to have him from Nashville from those years ago when they got that trade in. And, they beat the Flames, who are looking to try to be a playoff contender and a cup contender once again. But the Kings are sneaky good, and they stole this one in overtime. The last OT winner I had to mention was Jacob Slavin, OT winner for the Penguins. They were in their OT winner against the Penguins. It was Carolina Hurricanes and Penguins. Carolina was on the road, and they were wearing red helmets, which was the big deal. Usually I'm guessing they wear white helmets. So it looked a little weird. I don't know. How did you guys feel about the helmets with the uniform? Was that a miss, or was that good?
Yeah, I mean, it's just weird. Like, it was really no other. It was just odd. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, like you'd expect the white helmets, but I mean, I think I caught like one clip of that game. But it was odd. That's like, you kind of look at it and you're like, ew, ew.
Yeah, do we know like what the reason was behind it?
I don't know. I think they just wanted to change some stuff up. The Blackhawks also wore their home whites this week because of the fact that the Predators were in town and they were wearing their reverse retros, which are the mustard yellow. I've never understood that, though, because like, you're going to wear that on the road, like your fans aren't going to get a chance to see it. I don't know. It doesn't make
a
sense.
Lot of Nashville fans probably come up for
that.
That
is true.
I mean, it's pretty close.
So I think with the red helmets, it was just kind of something along those lines where, you know, we're just going to change it up and make something eye-popping. I thought it didn't fit. Like, it was the white jersey and then the red helmets just kind of looked silly with it. It almost looked beer league-ish, kind of.
Yeah, it was awkward. Like, yeah, like you said, beer league-ish. It's kind of like not professional, but I mean, obviously it is, you know.
Yeah, I maybe would have gone with, like, their other colors are black. If you're going to do a white helmet, I think a black helmet would have maybe looked okay, but also maybe only if you're wearing your alternate black jerseys. But then again, that's, I think, what they already do. So
right.
It was a little strange. That game was on Thursday night. They walked into Pittsburgh and came away with a 4-3 win in OT. And that was our shootout, our OT winners for the week. The other major thing that I had on the list was McDavid is the first player to 30 goals. Are we surprised?
No.
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 No, this guy's buzzing. Like we mentioned before, though, he and Draisaitl are their entire offense yet again. They lost a couple games this week. They had some wins in there, too, but it's – you know, when those are the only two guys producing for you, and Rat and I were talking about it, they're on the same line. Not going to win you a lot of games. You know, you'll score some flashy goals, but it's not spread out enough. So will they be looking to add something other than the defenseman that they were talking about at the trade deadline? Could be Patrick Kane. They're still in the running for that.
All I'm saying is if they get Patrick Kane, they're going to put up 6-7 goals a game, and all they need to do is get a goalie that can let up less than 6 or 7 goals, you know?
That is probably a true scenario. It would hurt to watch. It's not probably the worst place Patrick Kane could go, and to watch him play with McDavid, even if it's not on the same line, Draisaitl, that'd be a treat, but man, would that be a powerhouse. Oh, my
Their
goodness.
Power play is already a powerhouse. Just imagine if they added Kane to distribute that puck to
right?
David and
Draisaitl. Oh, yeah. It would just be a matter of does he mesh well with them. But with how good of players with their talents, I don't think it would be too much of a problem. It'd just be getting used to them, you know? Getting used to each other. That's nuts.
Maybe we could trade Kane for McDavid, you know?
Yeah, I'm sure that'll happen. I joked when I had met Alex DeBrincat years ago, that was right around the time It was the following January after the November trade went down. I was actually on my birthday that we acquired Dylan Strome from the Coyotes. Strome, DeBrincat, and McDavid were on a line when they all played for the Erie Otters. So we had two-thirds of that line. So I was joking with DeBrincat that, hey, I hear McDavid's not having the best of times in Edmonton. Any chance he comes to Chicago? Of course, it would never happen, salary cap reasons. But I asked him. I was like, we'll take McDavid if that's a problem for Edmonton. And he just kind of laughed, and I was like, yeah, it's a pipe dream, but to reunite the line is what I said. And, that's what we need. Yeah, it would have gone very differently for the Blackhawks right now. We would not be in a rebuild if we were with McDavid in that line. Yeah. But that is all I have for NHL news. But moving on, we have some rink updates. We've been skating on it. I've been skating on it twice, and it's going to melt again, like I said, this weekend when the 50-degree degree weather hits. But Rat, what was it like last night? How was the ice?
Great. I mean, the beginning of it when it was perfect, no one skated on it yet for a couple of days. It was smooth, and I enjoyed skating on it. And by the time we got to the end, we got bumpy as it should with everyone skating on it. We had four people out there and played some 2-on-2s and tore it up a little bit. But it's a good time. It always is. And again, it's a great thing that you do for us, and we all appreciate it.
Yeah, it's great. I had shoveled it all off yesterday, so that was my Christmas present, was uncovering my rink again, and then resurfacing. I did it in the dark, which was a little tough. I only had the under lights on, and that was tough. I have to have the overhead lights on to see, where I missed, but I think I did an okay job. I don't think I left too many spots untouched, but yeah. It was fun out there, and with it being 12 degrees out last night, yeah, we're gonna get some good ice, because the first time I had skated on it with Rob last week, it was exactly 32 degrees and actually moving up to 34. So ice was a little soft, a little mushy, but everything's solid and it's ready to go. We just gotta pray that the 50 degrees this weekend doesn't stick around too long and it drops back down again. Otherwise, this is a weird ODR season. I've never really had it in two separate parts. Usually
Welcome to
stays.
Chicago.
Yeah, welcome to Chicago. You said it best. But Rat, do we have a pond of the pod for this week?
We do have a pond of the pod.
Go ahead and share your screen.
So, share my screen here. We have the
Huh.
Beck Canal. So, it's just a huge, like, lake slash pond. I don't even know how to. Like it's a stream. I don't even know how to describe it, like what it is, but I mean, it's a canal. I mean, that's what it's called. But a lot of people use this as their use of transportation, where they get to work and back and go to grab lunch or something. I mean, Canadians, they always try and find a way to be playing hockey and on the ice and skating. So they use this a lot. And I mean, you can see here a lot of people are using it just for skating with family or just for fun, maybe a workout. Nice little scenery you get too as you get closer to the city of Quebec. And I think it's a cool thing that this I think it's cool that there's like this is the transportation in Quebec. Like that's just to me, I would love this to be my transportation. Wake up in the morning, have your cup of coffee, and hop on the skates and get to work. Like that's just. It's so cool. I honestly wish I could do it here, but I mean, I always could with rollerblades, but this is definitely a cool thing that it is, If you guys got anything you want to add on this.
You got anything, Emma?
It's like you're saying, it's really cool. And it was whenever you pulled this up, I was just thinking, I looked out our window today and our lake actually froze over with the cold weather we had. And I was like, oh, kind of looks like my backyard right now.
You've told me before, though, that you really can't skate on that, can you?
No, it's like a 60, 70 foot lake. So. And it has some warm springs that run through it, so it doesn't get thick enough that you could ever go out on it, nor would my parents ever let us go out on it. So, but it's fun to see, and like, you see the cat paw prints go across the ice and the deer and everything like that.
Gotcha. Yeah, I've seen this Quebec skating canal in videos. I want to say it was Jeremy from How To Hockey that has been out here, and yeah, they have little food shops along it, and pop up things that it's almost like walking through Millennium Park for Chicagoans, where like there's a little hot dog stand or something like that. With them, I think it's more of I'm trying to think of that Canadian. It's not a churro because that's south of the border, south of us, that they do that. It might be churros too up there, but they do. Oh, it's called a beaver tail. That's what it is. I don't know exactly what it is. I think it's just like another kind of pastry, like a sweet, but they sell those along here. So you could, like Rat said, you could commute to work by skating and get your lunch on the way there. So, yeah.
It's just like driving to work, you stop at Dunkin', no, you stop at Tim Hortons there.
Right, yeah, exactly. Yeah, awesome. Very cool. Love it. Moving forward from that, all we have left is missing the mark. I've got some games for you this week. Of course, no games tonight, but we're recording today, so I'll give you guys picks for tomorrow. Tuesday, December 27th, Hawks and Carolina Hurricanes. I'm always picking against my Blackhawks, but the Hurricanes are hot, like we said. Take the Hurricanes. Boston versus Ottawa. Ottawa has some standards to live up to. They're supposed to be a bubble team, but Boston is on the move. They're actually in Ottawa, but we're still going to be taking the Bruins. And then we also have for this night, Buffalo versus Columbus. We're taking Buffalo, get them back on the win column. I'm not going to take anything Washington and New York because this could go either way. I'm actually also not even going to take Ovi to get a goal here because he just had those two. And last week I gave goal picks for Ovi, and both games he was on the dry spell. So we're not going to take anything here, especially playing a tough New York team that has been winning. Both have very similar records too. So I won't dwell on this one too long because I'm not taking anything. So moving down the list, though, we also have Dallas and Nashville. Hammer Dallas. Maybe also Jason Robertson to score a goal. Against a really struggling Nashville team. There's also Toronto and St. Louis. St. Louis has yet to figure it out this year. Kind of a five, they're pretty much exactly a 500 team, 16, 16, and 2. Toronto is going to continue their winning ways, though, I see in this one. I would say Marner or Matthews to get a point. They're 21, 7, and 6. So I'm thinking they're going to come into St. Louis and take this one. Colorado versus Arizona. Please, Arizona. Please, come on. They always sewer me, but I am taking Colorado. Arizona likes to upset me and my bets. So Colorado over Arizona. We have a little bit of a Battle of Alberta Tuesday night coming right back from the holiday break. Edmonton and Calgary. I would take McDavid and Draisaitl to each have points in this one, but I'm not going to take a winner because with how gritty this could go, it could go either way. And Calgary losing to LA earlier this past week, I think they want to get back on. You never know which teams have too much turkey after the holidays or ham, whatever you eat on Christmas. So not taking anything there. However, Vegas is playing their rivals, kind of. They have similar logos, so I think they're pitted as rivals. So Los Angeles Kings, I would take the Golden Knights. They're still pretty hot this year. When going into Wednesday, Tampa and Montreal. This is in Tampa. We're taking Tampa. Boston versus New Jersey. I'm not touching this game. They just played each other, and Boston squeaked out a win 4-3 because they're staying hot. I could see the Jerseys wanting to fight back here. However, I would take Jack Hughes to be on the point sheet. He is tearing it up. He leads the team in both goals and assists, so points as well. We've also got for Wednesday night, Seattle versus Calgary. I'm taking Seattle because Seattle has kind of been sneaky good this year, and they're sitting in that second place spot. Oh, I'm sorry, it's third place now, but they're in a playoff spot. So why not keep it going? They are behind LA and Vegas. LA is a good team. I know I mentioned they were struggling. I do feel like they're going to fall off because teams like Calgary and Minnesota are right on their heels, as well as Seattle. But yeah, definitely taking. I'm going to take Seattle on this one. And then Vegas plays again. I know they're playing two nights in a row, but I am going to take them on this one as well against the Ducks. They're playing the Ducks. Sorry, Trevor Zegras and Rat. I know Rat loves Trevor Zegras. So Thursday, December 29th. I don't want to do it. I don't. Blackhawks and Blues. Blackhawks are 8-20-4. Blues are, like I mentioned, 16-16-2. This is in St. Louis. I'm not taking it. I'm not taking it. I can't as a fan. No, I'm taking St. Louis. Tampa Bay and New York. I'm gonna hold off on this one. New York's been on a heater, and Tampa Bay has been. They have similar records, but Tampa Bay has seemed like they've been a little bit more quiet this year, coming off of these cup visits. They're not making as much noise, so not taking anything there. Let's see what else we have for Thursday. Thursday. Washington and Ottawa. This is a game that I would take Ovechkin to score in against Ottawa. I would say Washington to also win this one, although that may be going out a little bit on a stretch, but I'll ride with it. I'll take Washington to win, and I'll take Ovi to score. So if you could same game parlay it, maybe do so as well. New York Islanders and Columbus Blue Jackets. We're taking the Islanders. Brock Nelson and Matthew Barzell have been on heaters. You can also maybe take Barzell to get a point against a weak Columbus team. Dallas and Minnesota. This is gonna be a fun one to watch. There's always a little bit of a rivalry here, but Dallas is just that team this year. I mean, Minnesota has a really remarkable record as well, but I don't think they get the job done, even though they are at home. I think Dallas comes in and continues their winning ways. So we're gonna go with Dallas and Jason Robertson to have a point in this game. Your big score has got to come up big for you. If you wanted to take something on the Minnesota side, Kaprizov to have a point, possibly a goal too, but he's only sitting at 19. So I would go safe route, and I would take a point. He is a -3 on the ice though, so that's interesting that you lead the team, but you're also a minus on the ice. So that's why I'm taking Dallas in this one. Similar records, but I think Dallas is just a powerhouse this year. Winnipeg and Vancouver, we're taking Winnipeg. Josh Morrissey to have a point. Colorado and Los Angeles. You know what? I'm not going to touch this one because I've already picked against LA once this week, and I've picked for Colorado once this week, so we're not going to touch that one. Toronto and Arizona. I have picked against Arizona once. They can't sewer me twice, right? So we're going to go with Toronto on this one. Once again, Marner and Matthews to each have a point. If you want to take a goal scorer, that's a little bit more risky. I don't like to make those plays, but William Nylander leads their team with 20 goals. And that is, I could do some games for Friday real quickly. There's not a whole lot that I like on Friday. I'm not gonna lie, just looking at it right off the bat. Carolina versus the Panthers. Take Carolina. Florida has yet to figure things out. I don't think they are as good of a team as they were last year. They're currently at the holiday break, outside looking in of the playoffs. I do want to get into that in just a second. Edmonton and Seattle. I've seen both of these teams play live. Granted, it was against the Blackhawks. This is in Seattle. This is close because both teams have 18 wins. I think I'm going to take Seattle on this one. But I would also say you're not going to hold McDavid and Draisaitl off the score sheet, so McDavid at least to have a point. But yeah, going into teams that are outside the playoffs looking in at Christmas, Edmonton, that's a surprise. They're close. They're right outside the wild card race. St. Louis, not as surprising when you look at how their season has gone, but going into the season, I think everybody was thinking that they were going to be a much bigger playoff contender. And in the East, Buffalo, everybody was thinking they were a bubble team. Ottawa, everybody was thinking they're a bubble team. They're towards the bottom. Florida, man, that is the biggest surprise to me. I mean, New York Islanders are also sitting out, but after the year they had last year with missing the playoffs, they have some struggles to figure out, and they're right about where they should be. But man, Florida in the wild card race, they're sitting sixth. With only 34 points in their division, they are close to the bottom. They're sixth in their division as well. Granted, in your division, you have teams like Boston, Toronto, and Tampa. But above them, Detroit and Buffalo as well. As far as early season predictions go, I would have only said one of those teams is maybe contending with whoever's going for that wild card spot, and Florida's above that. But it's been some rough games for Florida. So that is all I have for missing the mark. I don't know if you guys wanted to jump in and say anything about those outside looking in teams.
Well, Florida. I mean, not that one player does everything, but they did lose Huberdeau for this year. I mean, they did get Matthew Tkachuk back, and he's a solid player, brings a different kind of energy. But it's definitely a change for Barkov, I think, without playing with Huberdeau. And Huberdeau's a good goal scorer and knows where to be. And I mean, not that Matthew Tkachuk isn't, but definitely think that Florida lost that trade. I think we've I mean, I know I've gone over this with you before, but not in the podcast, so.
Yeah, no, 100%. That you're not wrong. I agree. And Huberto's been tearing it up for Calgary, so
Yeah.
definitely a loss for them.
Absolutely.
As far as that goes, I've got nothing else. Next week and the following week, we'll have two awesome guests on, Jackson Dietzen and Jason Gehringer, and they both play for U of I hockey. They both have games coming up at that Rosemont rink that Rat had previously shown us for Pond of the Pod. The first game is going to be Friday. I have to pull it up here in my calendar. Friday, January 13th at noon. I will not make it to that game. I'll be working. But then they also have a Saturday game, January 14th at 2 p.m., I believe it is. I'm just going to double check the start times here. I probably will be attending that Saturday game, and that should be fun. A little bit of their own winter classic, basically. Yes, 12 p.m. on Friday the 13th and 2 p.m. on Saturday the 14th. So if you can get out to Rosemont, definitely check them out. We're going to have them both on in the following 2 weeks in order to kind of preview the game, talk a little bit about it, and I'm excited to see the boys play. And they're actually probably coming over to skate on the rink in a little while, so that should be good too. But I don't know if you guys did you guys have any last things that you wanted to add or jump onto that Rosemont game talk?
I might be there on the Friday noon game, the one that you're not gonna be at, and then the Saturday, depending on work, I'll probably be there with you.
Gotcha. Yeah, sounds like a plan.
Yeah, that's it.
Well, Emma, thank you for coming on. Thank you for talking logo and even Boston Bruins and NHL with us.
Bruins.
Thanks for having me, guys. It's fun.
Yeah, it's a great time.
Well, for everybody here at Talking Pylons, I hope you had a great holidays, whatever you celebrate, and we won't see you guys until next year.
All right, you're done.
Time to leave.
Yeah. On that note, we will be back next week, and it'll be 2023. So, thanks for tuning in, everyone.
See you guys.
It was summertime in northern Michigan.